Welcome to Career Conversations. My name is Siobhan Murphy, a careers consultant here in DCU Career Service. Today we're going to discuss all things volunteering, and joining me to do this is Ruth Lynham, who is the Student Volunteer Coordinator with the Office of Civic Engagement here in DCU. So thank you so much for joining us today on the podcast show, Ruth. Volunteering is very close to students' hearts, and I think it's a reflection of the broader society. And here in Ireland, we have a very, very long and strong tradition in volunteering, and it's really, really, it's very heartening to see that each year as students join us here in DCU, whether they're online learning at home at the moment or on campus, that they're still so engaged with volunteering and eager to get involved. So thank you so much for joining us on the show. So first of all, Ruth, we just might start off, maybe to help us understand volunteering, can you maybe tell us a little bit about your role as the volunteer coordinator and what the remit of the Office of Civic Engagement is here in DCU?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks so much as well to yourself, Siobhan, for having me. I really appreciate it. And as you said, we're very lucky, I think, in DCU to have such a wide array of students who are always keen to get involved in various different voluntary activity across campus and even off campus as well during their time in third level education. And part of that picture then is my role. And so as Student Volunteer Coordinator, I just help with any kind of organization or assisting students with maybe fundraising, perhaps international volunteering. We have some students who might have to involve themselves in some kind of volunteering activity or civic engagement within their actual degree program, clubs and societies. There's just so much going on in the university, which is always great to be involved with. And that's kind of where I come into the picture, is just to give a bit of assistance. I sometimes say I'm almost a career guidance counsellor for volunteering, shall we say, doing a similar job. And where the Office of Civic Engagement fits into that is it's the overarching sort of office in DCU, working with all outreach in the community. So adult education in some of our community centres around the North Dublin area comes into that. We have a civic engagement forum whereby members of the university, both students and staff, who are involved in any civic activity, which basically just means active citizens addressing issues of public concern. That's kind of what civic engagement is. We would all come together and discuss the ways that we're helping both the DCU community, but the wider community as well, in different ways. So that's kind of where the Office of Civic Engagement fits. It's quite small. It would just be about four of us in the office, but we're doing what we can. And so that's where I sit. And DCU Volunteer then is the kind of name under which volunteering comes to DCU's student community. So that's where I would be and my own role, yeah, as Student Volunteer Coordinator.
So one of the things that we often find in the career service is, I suppose, getting an understanding with students about what volunteering is and what it isn't. And there can often be a challenge, between volunteering and unpaid work. So we might just unpack, what is volunteering in this context?
Yeah, sure. Well, the way that we very simply define volunteering is that it is the practice of giving your time and energy for the benefit of other people or the environment without being motivated by financial or material gain. So that's the definition that we would have. And in Ireland, that's kind of the definition used. But to put it simply, it's just doing more than you have to because you want to and because you care. That's really what the crux of volunteering is. And we see in terms of student volunteering, it can come into so many different areas of university life. As I said, whether that's in clubs and societies, maybe someone is volunteering with an organisation from home. We have a lot of people who might do one-off activities, such as volunteering at festivals or events. And even, you know, people who might be involved with projects within the university as well, in lots of different ways. And usually it's all just kind of about making the world a bit of a better place. And that's what a lot of our students are motivated by.
And I suppose one of the things that we find is that that people do one-off activities, maybe an overnight fast or, you know, one-off cycle or a run or something like that. And I suppose how to place that on your CV. So we'd always recommend to students maybe that if you're part of an organisation for 3 months or more, definitely, you know, put that in the volunteering section of your CV. But if it's just like a one-off activity, which obviously is an excellent achievement, put it in your achievements section, and it can, you know, can just read very well when it's separated more concretely like that. Because volunteering is just more of an ongoing commitment rather than a one-off activity. Have you anything to speak on that there, Ruth?
Yeah, no, we would fully agree. And often, you know, at the heart of it, what you've just mentioned there really leads to more meaningful volunteering. Mm-hmm. So when someone does commit themselves to an organisation or a cause for an extended period of time, which can be difficult for students because semesters are short, mm-hmm. you know, exams, assignments, there's a lot of pressures. But really engaging with an organisation or a specific cause that you genuinely care about and working on a project or maybe even working with an individual. That's one of the biggest types of volunteering we see is mentoring and befriending. Mm-hmm. Really, those kind of activities can't be done in a sincere way unless there is a time commitment that is a little bit longer, as we said, than maybe 3 months. And the organisation benefits more. And so do you as an individual. So I think that that's actually just a good note, really, to make that, of course, there's lots of other options. I mean, one of the biggest one-off volunteering activities that we do every year in DCU would be our annual Darkness into Light walk, which is always huge. And we get a great number of student volunteers involved. But again, it's kind of, as you said, more of an achievement because we've brought this event to life. It was usually kind of a week long activity, as in coordinating volunteers takes about that time. And it's fantastic and a really wonderful time. But the learning mightn't be as in depth as somebody who has volunteered for a significant period of time. And that comes into, as you said, where the experience really is.
And what are the typical things that, you know, is useful for a student to consider that is in keeping with their stage of life and it is in keeping with their other commitments in college? You know, what would be the typical things that you would see students volunteering in?
I mean, there is honestly just so many options mm-hmm. out there. It'll almost blow your mind. And what's wonderful to see is sometimes there's very traditional ideas of volunteering. Sometimes people think it just means shaking a bucket outside of mass or a shopping mm-hmm. centre collecting money, or other people have an idea in their minds that it means you have to go abroad, perhaps to the global south for an extended period of time. But really, it does come into life, especially in a university setting, in a lot of different ways. So we see students coming from a huge amount of different backgrounds, but often activities that they are just generally passionate about and different causes which are usually close to their heart. Sometimes that might be due to an experience. We would have often worked with the Irish Heart Society and Irish Heart Foundation. So they would be a group of students within the university working on kind of healthy eating and activities that would be just assisting with like a healthy lifestyle. And those students often would come from a background of maybe having a heart condition themselves or someone in their family. But then just on the same page, we would have someone who maybe has just come across a love for media and photography, and they really want to jump into that. So they might volunteer with a local newspaper, or they might be inclined to help out at some upcoming film festival or assist in social media marketing. So it really does come from a lot of different areas. But the main thing that we say to students is when you are considering volunteering, think about yourself. Start with your own interests, what you are passionate about, and also what talents and skills you have, because those really come into play. Similar to, you know, applying for a job, what can you bring to the role? So, for instance, we might have an opportunity that is looking for someone to be an arts and crafts coordinator for a project in a drama class, let's say. So perhaps you have been involved in drama productions at home. Maybe you did a TY play and was a stage manager. You might be doing some arts and crafts as a hobby. Those skills, you can bring that into your volunteering. It doesn't have to be a separate entity, and it also doesn't have to be something that is a, you know, massive undertaking in a stressful or challenging way. You can really work to your own strengths. So as I said, think about yourself and what you are actually good at, because at the end of the day, volunteering, you are doing it out of your own time, and it is just an activity that you kind of need to be excited about, or otherwise it will be quite a pain. So it's good to know that you can place those strengths and build upon them as well, of course.
We often see students who have had the benefit of being involved in sports or music and drama, where volunteering was part and parcel, like say the GAA or rugby and so on. And we often see them very interested in getting involved in coaching and helping out on the more junior teams. Now, obviously, it does always involve Garda vetting, but they have a knowledge of the game, they have an understanding, they have a passion for the sport or the music or the drama, and they're often interested in, giving back, because they've always benefited from volunteers in their own development in the game. But also they see the benefit to themselves in that kind of, you know, that coaching, mentoring type role with others.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, one of the things that we often say when it comes to volunteering. Our slogan in DC Volunteer is, when you give, you gain. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we say to students is, you as a volunteer, you actually are giving inspiration a lot of the time to the organization that you're working with or to the people that you're helping. So again, as you said there, for instance, if sport is your real love and you are coaching younger players, or maybe, you know, assisting in different ways, that inspirational passion that you have for that sport and for giving back, kind of no matter what, that's so wonderful to see, and that really seeps into the organisation. It's what makes it tick. And I mean, the GAA in Ireland is the biggest voluntary organisation that we have, and often that's not really talked about, but it runs on the blood of volunteers. That's what keeps it going and keeps its heart pumping. So really, we'd be lost without our passionate and inspiring volunteers across the board.
You mentioned earlier there about international volunteering. Now, we do appreciate the world at the moment is we're not moving, but that day will pass and people will be back on planes and back moving. But for anyone considering going overseas during maybe their summer and volunteering, or volunteering maybe, you know, when they finish up college and doing a stint in Kenya or a variety of countries, can you talk us through maybe some guidelines that you would suggest as the basic research, you know, to really kind of look at that meaningfully?
Absolutely. Well, again, as I've mentioned there already, in terms of any volunteering, you need to focus in on yourself and what are your motivations for your volunteering. And international or overseas volunteering is very similar. You need to kind of focus in on what are you going to be giving to this project and what are you hoping to gain. And sometimes when it comes to international volunteering, the lines can be a little bit blurred. So we ask volunteers to be mindful of their motivation for volunteering, and they should not feel obliged to take an opportunity or use it as an escape or just a trip overseas, because unfortunately, sometimes we do see that, and we see volunteering being kind of marketed in that way, whereby it's a once in a lifetime opportunity and a way to see new parts of the world, which it absolutely is. But it can be quite challenging as much as it is rewarding. So making sure that someone is especially in the right headspace for such an undertaking, because the majority of volunteering options overseas or internationally that we would ask students to consider would be longer placements. So really, we're talking between 10 to 12 weeks, and some of the medium or long-term projects could be up to 6 months to a year. So it is a huge undertaking, and for someone to make sure that they're engaging in that kind of activity in the right headspace is really important. And, you know, it is a great thing to do, and a lot of people come back absolutely overjoyed with their experience as is. But one of the reasons why we have seen people have positive experiences is because they venture away with organizations who would be practicing ethical volunteering. So our kind of bottom line on this is to make sure you research the organization that you're planning to volunteer with overseas, because sometimes there are organizations who are what we would call for-profit volunteering. So what really comes down to it is a kind of a holiday abroad with maybe a little bit of volunteering thrown in on the side. And we call this volunteer tourism, or voluntourism as it's more commonly known. And so it's kind of this trend of doing good abroad that's often marketed by travel companies that involves unethical volunteering. So we would always encourage our students to be mindful that there are a lot of organisations out there who might look fantastic, and there's all the excitement about a new experience overseas, but to be careful about the background of that organisation. And so where we would point students is to our partner COLOV. So COLOV is an Irish organisation who promote responsible international volunteering and international development, and they have a code of conduct that is based on making sure that everyone in the volunteering project, both the volunteers and the people who are being assisted by the project, are being treated fairly, and that there is a kind of sustainable plan put in place as well when it comes to that volunteering. So COLOV have a website and a list of organisations who they would work with. It's almost like an NCT for volunteering organisations. That's how it kind of comes across. So if an organisation is listed as being checked by COLOV, we would be very happy for any students to volunteer with them. But if not, then maybe it's worth researching a little bit more, or kind of questioning again your motivations and really the safety, I suppose, of both yourself and those involved on the other side. That's quite a mouthful there, but
no, but it's really important though, because like we've often seen it in the career service, and students have often, you know, shown us some voluntary offers, for want of a better word, and like your alarm bells do go up, and it's a very useful thing to have that COLOV sign, for better word, on it, because at least then there is some foundation under it. Like it can be quite challenging to evaluate you know, if these are legitimate, you know, or is it voluntourism. Now if somebody is doing a voluntourism and they're consciously aware of that, that's fine, you know, when they're signing up to that, but many people are not aware that that's what it is, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And where that can really be quite difficult is in terms of fundraising, because sure, we often see students sign up to working with organisations and it all seems great and happy out, and then all of a sudden they're being asked to fundraise an enormous amount of money and not really sure of where that money is going or how that's really being used. So, you know, there are these things that can crop up in time, and you, even as a volunteer, both within, you know, Ireland and internationally, you have rights and responsibilities that you can always be aware of, no matter what kind of project you're involved in, if it's once off or overseas. And they're really useful as well. Volunteer Ireland has a charter for effective volunteering, and your rights within that do say that, you know, you have a right to receive support, supervision, and you have a right to have a role description and to be given meaningful work to do, and, you know, have appropriate training. And if those things aren't being fulfilled, you know, alarm bells should ring. So, you know, do know that there is help. And I mean, that's what my role is here for, most definitely.
And I suppose it's just even other additional expenses, like you may have to get various vaccines to go to certain countries. And they can be quite expensive to do. Now, they're great to have because you have them then for a long time, you know, for general travelling. But by the same token, it might be a cost you hadn't factored in.
Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of the time these things might come under what some organisations would consider your fundraising.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to call into question, especially with things like the vaccines, if it is something that then you will be able to make use of, because a lot of the vaccines last for maybe up to 10 years and, you know, you'll be able to kind of travel freely after. Is someone in your local community or neighbourhood happy to sponsor your vaccine if they have to go? You know,
I think there's a little bit of cynicism, you know, when you're, so is it, you know, students might find it difficult to fundraise for this, because I do think there's a general amount of cynicism after coming up around the volunteerism, that when people are being asked for money, they do like to know where it's going to and for what purpose, quite rightly, if that makes sense to you. So they don't really want to fund a junket for you or anything like that, you know, because they mightn't be able to go on a holiday themselves, you know what I mean, this year, you know, or next year, you know, so financially. So if they're giving you a five or a tenner, they're going to go and write, I'm going to fund his holiday or something, do you know? So we need to be very mindful of that as well. So a good bit of checking out. I know when we spoke before the show, you spoke about that you have an excellent website for student volunteers that is really, really useful to look at.
Yeah, indeed. So studentvolunteer.ie, that's the full name and the address. You can write that into your Google search bar and it'll pop right up. It is the national database for student volunteering in Ireland. So all of the other universities and technological universities included across Ireland are based on this website. So all of the volunteering that can be offered to third level students is there, available for anyone to apply to. All you need to do is to use your DCU email address in this case, but if you're from a different HEI, you would use your email address from that university and sign up to the system. And there you will have a varying amount of different opportunities, all sectioned into different categories. So, for instance, there's human rights and justice, arts, culture, media. We have animal welfare. There's education, lots of different sections, and all of the kind of volunteering opportunities that are appropriate for students should be posted there online. So it's definitely a good place for students to sign up to and to keep an eye on and to apply to differing organisations, some of which they mightn't have heard of before, but we would make sure to vet and to ensure that all organisations using the website have a registered charity number and that they're, with the opportunities they're offering are fair and open to students. So, you know, they're not asking too much of anybody or maybe too little. So it's a really great resource and you're in safe hands when you're using it. So it's a good place to start if you're looking to embark on a volunteering journey.
Brilliant. Now, we like all our guests to share their own career story, Ruth, as far as possible. So because we all learn from one another, and I think it's really, really powerful to know how you actually ended up working in the area of student volunteering. So maybe you might tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I am a DCU graduate myself. I did my undergraduate degree in 2014. It was communication studies, which was a three-year degree. And during that time, I think maybe a week in, I went to the Clubs and Socks Fair and joined various different volunteering societies and never looked back.
You were a serial signer-upper, were you?
Oh, my goodness. I was. Well, I fully was toying between which volunteering options could I slot into my week, and then found that they were conflicting with a few or others. But I was heavily involved with the Raising and Giving Society, which is known as RAG. I was on the committee there. I volunteered with SVP. with Enactus and Head Starts, and as well as all the kind of one-off opportunities that arose during the year via Students' Union or even through my course. So I was a devil for maybe not putting as much time into my academia and running off to volunteer down in Ballymun or in primary schools in Finglas and anywhere else I could be placed. But it really did stand to me because I think I learned fairly instantly the thing that I loved was working with other people, and that's all that really drove me, and that it was all I wanted to do. So I was lucky enough then in my final year that a position cropped up with the Office of Civic Engagement for a volunteer champion. So this role was to be a student ambassador really for volunteering, someone to kind of promote what work was being doing and shine a light on all of the volunteering activity that's happening. Because as I said, anyone who's doing anything for free on the university campus, they're a volunteer, and there's so much of it happening all across the university. So that's why that role cropped up. And then at the end of my final year, I was lucky enough to be made full-time in a position which translated to the student volunteer coordinator role. So I've been in DCU a long time now and involved with volunteering since day one, but it's what I love, and I love working with students who I see the same excitement and passion in them that I had when I was first year, and just really wanting to get to know the local area, wanting to get to know the university, and wanting to help in any way possible. And it's so wonderful to work with students like that, and I'm constantly in awe at the crazy wonderful ideas that our students have, or the volunteering that they're doing. They're just they're an inspiration in themselves. So it's been a really wonderful role, and I'm extremely lucky. But I think even at the heart of it there, the fact that my volunteering experience is what got me this job, that can be translated into a lot of different scenarios whereby people who, you know, and even people in my own course at the time, it was a media-based course. So there was a lot of people volunteering with, you know, their community radio station, or people volunteering to do social media for maybe a PR agency, or helping out at different events across the university, even taking photographs for perhaps other societies or for class groups, all of that kind of thing. And that experience really does build up. And as we know, even more so now with things like corporate social responsibility and CSR in companies, having some kind of volunteering experience is really, really stands alone, and something that I think everyone has the capability and capacity to do.
Because I often think it can be quite challenging to collaborate and work in a team in a voluntary kind of setting. You really need people to buy into the mission of what you're doing. Like, there is no, you know, paid worker, you know, you're not getting money for it. So therefore, you know, like, there is that extra effort. So I think it's a real testament to your ability to work with others, you know, when you don't have the structure of an actual workplace, you know, or a class environment. So it's a wee bit tougher. And I think people underestimate the skills they learn about, like, you know, even sitting on a clubs and socks committee and negotiating what you're going to do this year and what you're going to prioritize and what you're not going to prioritize. There's a lot of, you know, it takes quite a bit of effort.
For sure, 100%. And, you know, it's something that we always ask our students to be mindful of, is that, you know, keep a kind of a log of your experience, because there are different options even within the university, whether it's our wonderful Engage Award or the Union credited module, amongst other things, whereby you're asked to reflect on your experience. But that also comes into an interview, you know, reflecting on your volunteering and the ways in which you have dealt with difficult or challenging situations, but also then maybe, you know, the success stories as well. And in terms of, you know, even where the line goes between unpaid work and volunteering. I know for ourselves, with studentvolunteer.ie, we would be quite cautious of this because we know students are as well, and they're right to be. Our bottom line would be that any volunteer role, let's say, that is expecting a student to work more than 15 hours a week, is considered an unpaid internship. And that's what we would kind of put the bottom line as. Now, we wouldn't be too keen on students, you know, counting their hours and, you know, not necessarily having to track every single thing. But if you are being asked to do more than that, it probably is considered something that is a little bit more of a responsibility than just volunteering out of your own volition or on your own time. And, you know, sometimes internships like that, there can be bit of a swing between whether it's unpaid work or unpaid internships. So just something to be mindful of for all students, really.
And I think we spoke about this before, Ruth, and we were trying to, I suppose, help unpack that space. So you were using the example of, we were talking about, say, radio station. So maybe some volunteering with a community radio station that was a not-for-profit, you know, versus a commercial radio station, you know, so that might kind of help you find your sense that there would be a high number of volunteers running the radio or managing, you know, putting out a weekly newsletter or a blog or, you know, maintaining a website or whatever the case would be. So it'd be just kind of saying, are you the only volunteer or is that the dominant, I suppose, how the work is distributed? Is it mostly distributed amongst volunteers, if that makes sense to you? So that kind of gives you a sense of, you know, maybe a little bit of a ready reckoner, you know, about how to evaluate, you know, your role between unpaid work and volunteering. Just getting back to our current environment at the moment. Now, obviously, we've all been thrown into, well, it's, you know, it's going on a while now. We can't even say it's a new thing anymore. You know, we're almost a year at it now, Ruth. You know, we're getting quite the experts at it, is remoting. So where is the whole voluntary section there now with remote volunteering or, I suppose, a social distance type volunteering? Have you any insights about what's happening in the marketplace with that?
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, because we are currently in level 5, and especially in the Dublin area, we really haven't been out of that at all in comparison to other counties across Ireland. Volunteering has really taken a hit, and a lot of new volunteers would be struggling to be recruited or to find options because a lot of organisations might have had to scale back their work or maybe, you know, focus on one or two projects rather than a wide variety of programmes that they might usually run. And so their need for volunteers is less, and they might be inclined to work with volunteers who have always worked with them, which is fair enough, because we might have people who, you know, have been with an organisation for 10 or 15 years and it's kind of their bread and butter. So that's been a challenge for newer volunteers to find options. But that being said, there has been micro-volunteering, which is what we would say kind of bite-sized, on-demand, no commitment as such volunteering, that someone might require, let's say, a revamp of a website, or they need someone to come in and proofread some documents or something like that. And it would be once-off, small little activity. But again, that might necessarily be full-on volunteering experience, just really something to kind of help another person or organisation out. But there are virtual volunteering options as well. We have seen a few of those crop up, whether it's in graphic design, maybe in email or in newsletter support. And also some projects have really done a wonderful job at sort of turning the tables and making sure that their volunteer programs run smoothly online. So we've seen a good few mentoring programs or befriending options kind of turn themselves into an online platform. So they're maybe hosting their sessions over Zoom instead of in person, or, you know, different things like that. But just as, you know, usual volunteering requires, Garda vetting is still important and training is still important. So as much as these things might be virtual and online, you're still entitled to be trained and supported. as much as you would be if you were, you know, traveling to a certain location. But there are a few options. And I think if people keep an open mind and, you know, do look at studentvolunteer.ie, keep an eye on our DC volunteer social media. Only recently we've been running a letter writing volunteer opportunity with some of our local nursing homes, which has been really great. Pen pals between our students and some of the residents in the Brilliant. Nursing homes. So those kind of options are there. They're just maybe not as many of them as there might be in the past.
And I suppose it's to encourage everybody, no matter where they are in Ireland or abroad, that are DCU students, that, you know, there's a lot of our clubs and societies are all operating virtually at the moment.
Yes.
And Absolutely. They're doing fantastic work in this area. So if you think you don't think there's anything going on, you're wrong. There's plenty going on, you know. So is to log on to the clubs and socks and maybe have another little look around. It's never too late to join up in the year.
No, definitely not. It's always good to be open to different mm-hmm. new options.
Brilliant, brilliant. There was something else on my mind here now. I'm just going to have a quick look at my notes here, Ruth. There was something that was bothering me and I said, oh, I forgot to ask her that now. We're just thinking of it.
I skirted over Garda Bessing there.
Maybe you might talk to that actually, because it is important and you're kind of going, people might be saying, oh, how do I go about that or what's involved in that?
Exactly, because I think it becomes something that can be quite a challenge for students when they are embarking on their volunteering. And something that maybe they haven't dealt with before.
Yeah, so in what reasons would you need Garda vetting now, for example?
So Garda vetting is really just a kind of a reference check that is important and in line with current legislation. You would need Garda vetting if you are working with or mentoring, let's say, anyone who is considered a vulnerable person. So that might be anyone under the age of 18, if they're technically a child in the eyes of the law. We might have older people in that category, anyone with intellectual or physical disabilities, homeless people, basically anyone who might be coming from a more vulnerable position. So you wouldn't need to be Garda vetted, let's say, if you were doing a community cleanup, because you are out in the open air, you're not interacting with anyone necessarily one-on-one, and you can, you know, kind of go about it in maybe a once-off or ad hoc nature, whereas volunteering is required for anyone who is, as I said, working with vulnerable people and working in a capacity where a relationship can be built up. So sometimes people are quite surprised by the ways in which which Garda vetting comes about. Because, for instance, if you were to work as a voluntary receptionist at your local community centre or GAA club, it mightn't feel like you can set up a relationship or be working one-on-one with anyone. But if, let's say, you're meeting with a group of teenagers every week who come in for their badminton lessons or something, you can develop that relationship. So you might be required to be Garda vetted. But it might seem like a scary process. It's really not. It's actually much quicker now because a lot of it is done online and through an e-vetting system. There shouldn't be too much of a hassle about it. What's required is to make sure that you have a set of documents to kind of prove who you are. So that might be something like your passport, driver's license, and then a proof of address is the other thing. So showing maybe a utility bill or, a landlord's reference, something like that. Now, for students, that can sometimes be a little bit more difficult to get a hold of, because we would see instances of students maybe moving house when they've come up to college or university, and also maybe students who are doing Erasmus or international students who mightn't have a standardised address. So there can be little tidbitty problems like that, but for the bog standard students, shouldn't be too much hassle. And the main thing is the organisation you're working with, they will help you through all of this process. So it's up to them to assist you with the vetting. They will be the one to provide all the forms. They can talk you through. So nothing will be left up to you necessarily. It's all really on them. So you'll be in good hands, fingers crossed.
Brilliant. And I just remembered what I wanted to say. So, you know, I just want to touch in on something that you said earlier about, you know, that one of the unintended benefits for you doing so much volunteering when you were in college was that you've actually now, you know, developed your career in this area. And I suppose it just struck me at the time that one of the things that we do know about a number of students, they do want to work in international development and international aid. So one of the things that I'd always encourage students to do is to use their 3 or 4 years during their college years to develop that resilience, you know, to then move overseas, if that makes sense, because usually at that point you are going to go for an extended period of time, particularly if it's going to become like a main focus of your career. So one of the things that I always say to students is maybe start off in first year, you know, one step away from the body, and then progressively move out towards your final year into the most vulnerable in our society and working with them. Because if you're saying to yourself you want to work in the most with the most vulnerable in the world, the most important thing to do is to build up that resilience muscle to work with the most vulnerable in our own society. So a typical example I'm going to give you might be a bit of a twee one, but it might just kind of present an image to somebody that, you know, you could start off with your local St. Vincent de Paul Society on the campus, and then progress to being involved with our superuns. Then it might be a progression to working with or volunteering with, say, you know, the Simon Community, Peter McVerry Trust, and so on, you know, where they're, you know, you're progressively, as the 3 or 4 years, that you're building up your skills, your ability to be able to contribute effectively, demonstrably, in a meaningful way, but in a way that helps you cope as well. Because one of the most important things, you know, if you're going to work with vulnerable people, is to manage your own health and well-being as well. It's very, very important, because you can only be useful to others if you manage your own health and well-being. So it's always about putting the oxygen mask on yourself at all times as well. So just share, kind of setting yourself goals each year, you know, but, you know, not to overload yourself too quickly, but kind of say, right, I'm here for 3 years, I'm going to start off doing this. Next year, I'll see how I am, and I'm going to see how can I push it out a little bit more and a little bit more. So then you have really good quality content on your CV. So if you're proposing yourself as a paid or an unpaid volunteer or paid worker for an NGO going abroad, they have some evidence as to why you would be able to contribute, number one, and would be resilient enough to be able to spend 6 months, 12 months overseas with them. Like, there'd be a lot of vetting there, a lot of evidence gathering on behalf of the NGO to find out if you have the, you know, you have the ability to do it.
100%. That is honestly really, really fantastic advice across the board. And I'm so delighted to hear that, because it is something that we are wary of as well when students are volunteering, that sometimes they jump into the deep end and can get quite a shock. And that's, you know, leading to poor volunteering experiences or maybe putting them off a line of work full stop. And you're right, it really does need to be built up to. And as much as that is very much on the students and something for them to be wary of, you know, going at their own pace, the organisation you're working with should also be able to assist you in that journey as well. That if you do feel like something is a bit overwhelming, or maybe you're having doubts or questions, that the organisation will be able to provide some support for you. And there should also be options, especially for longer term volunteers or anyone starting off and in induction training, and making sure that you have tools to deal with some of the scenarios that you might be involved with, and making sure that you're comfortable to do so as well. So make sure to ask for those. And even, you know, for students who are starting off and might be a little bit nervous about conducting a new volunteering opportunity or jumping into something different, to be aware that you can request and ask those questions. Will I receive training, or what are the supports in place? And is there any conditions about maybe if I'm finding things very difficult, I could take a week off, or am I required to be here at all times? You know, those things really do need to be considered, especially in a voluntary setting whereby you're not there as a paid worker and you might have the same sort of workers' rights. So be sure to know your volunteer rights and utilise them as well. That is definitely key. And we are glad to hear that a lot of organisations are putting more time and effort into those elements, because making sure that volunteers are looked after well is the main reason why they stick around. Yeah. And no one wants to let down their volunteers after they've gone through all the effort of joining and taking on a new undertaking. So that's such an important point. Delighted to hear that be made. Yeah, really, really great one.
Brilliant. Liz, I think we might wrap up. I think we've had a great session. I've really learned an awful lot. A little bit more, say, the student volunteer side, the COLOV. I thought that was an excellent point. So there's a lot of kind of really good ideas. But if you were to just finish up with this now, what would be your top tip or top tips that you'd like for students to take away from this session?
Yeah, I know it's hard to sort of whittle everything down, but my main thing, and as I talked about from the outset, doing something that you love, engaging with an organisation that you're passionate about. And the best way to volunteer is to work with an organisation or a cause whose mission complements your interests. So working with an organisation and in an area that you are excited to be working in, because that's what will keep you going. That's when it's a rainy Thursday evening and you're not too pushed about leaving the apartment. If you know I'm going to go down there and make a difference to both the people I'm working with, but also to myself, that's what's going to keep you going. So be aware of that and do something you love.
Brilliant. Brilliant. I couldn't say anything better. And your analogy over to career guidance is very valuable. Following your passion. And as far as you know, and I'm always saying to people as well, is that don't worry if you feel you don't have a passion, because that can be a kind of a pressure. Sometimes you don't know you have a passion until you get to experience some things, you know. So just if you kind of think you might be like the look of it and try it, and things develop into passions, you know. Things can be a bit of a slow burn for people, so don't feel, you know, that it has to be like love at first sight with the volunteering kind of sector either, you know. It all takes a little bit of time to develop your interests.
Definitely, and that can come in different ways. Sometimes I think when we talk about passions, it might be people considering that means music or film or sport. Whereas your passion, as I said earlier, my passion was just working with other people. I honestly couldn't have cared. I'm sure I was doing cooking volunteering, and I was volunteering as a coach at one stage, I was volunteering with painting in a project, all sorts of things, but it was just people. That's what I was passionate about. So, you know, you can see those things. Maybe you're passionate about organisation. Maybe you're passionate about social media. It could be loads of different things. So just being...
that great phrase, Ruth, you just couldn't be kept at home.
Yes.
You just couldn't be kept at home. And honest to God. Well, that often is the case, isn't it? You know, that we've all seen people volunteering in our communities and on this committee and that committee. And you often say, geez, they're never at home. But they obviously thrive in that, if that makes sense.
For sure. No, absolutely. And look, if students have any questions or I'm not sure where to start, they can reach out to me. I'm at DCU Volunteer on all social media, from Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. But also they can email right away at volunteer@dcu.ie, or get in touch with myself directly, which is ruth.lynham@dcu.ie.
That is fantastic. Thank you so much for your time, Ruth. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you. Thanks a million, Siobhan.